But we begin with a crisis that increasingly the whole world is watching. We will explore some of your responses to the stream of young people from unstable Central American nations to make it here to the U.S. and possibly be reunited with their parents who made the journey years ago. The Catholic Church is on the front lines of this humanitarian crisis and has long taken on the plight of the poor and the marginalized as its mission. But the thousands of child migrants streaming across the U.S. border from Central America has placed a new sense of urgency in the headlines. Roman Catholic Bishop Mark Seitz of El Paso, Texas, after serving immigrant communities for decades as a priest, his diocese in El Paso, Texas, has now been thrust into the middle of this national debate and crisis as El Paso cares for many of the undocumented youths who have fled violence and poverty in their home countries. Bishop Seitz has also brought the complexity of the issue to the attention of lawmakers. He has testified twice before Congress in the past 2 weeks about his work in immigrant communities.
Well, our interest begins with serving the people who are in need. That's what the church does. We're concerned about those who are poor, those who are in danger of their life, and we serve without really asking all of the details about whether they have the proper papers or whether they are within our border or outside of our border. We have a concern for everyone.
Can you speak to motive? I mean, the president has said, please don't make this journey from Guatemala or Honduras or Nicaragua to the United States. As a member of the clergy, would you ever advise a young person to take a journey like this?
I've personally advised people in Honduras not to make that journey, and the church has been giving that message there for many years. I remember when I was working there in 2002, that was a very strong message that the church was giving, that it's better not attempt that perilous journey, and trying to remind them that when they arrived in the United States, there would be new trials all of their own. However, still, you know, the best analogy I can give is if you find yourself in a burning building, at a certain point, it doesn't matter how many people say, don't jump. When the flames are licking at your back, you're going to jump. And I think a lot of these people feel like leaving for any place, including the United States, is their only option. The migrants that I've spoken to, including the children, who really, I would like to point out, are a very special case, they've been told and they've heard. Again, they just don't feel as though they have another choice. From the standpoint of the church, we believe that one of the best solutions, if you will, to this problem is to begin to address the root causes of the issue, to be involved in whatever ways we can in those home countries. We are attempting to do that as a church. We should attempt to do that as a nation if we really want to stem the tide. One of my colleagues often says, until there is human security, there will not be national security. So unless we deal with this, there is no number of fences we can set up that will keep people from seeking our borders.
Forgetting fences for a moment, does the White House have its head in the sand by not recognizing this as a refugee crisis?
Well, I'm sure they're under a lot of pressures. And in a certain sense, in our nation, we haven't really experienced these kinds of situations at our borders. We've been a world leader when it comes to refugee situations in other nations, and we've helped frame the international law that guides the treatment of refugees. So when people are crossing a war-torn area from Syria to Lebanon, to Jordan, from the state of Somalia into Kenya and the like, we have been one of the leaders in saying, yes, these people need to be accepted and not turned away.
So is this a crisis in part of the creation of American politics?
Well, you know, I'm not an expert in American politics, but certainly, these people are our neighbors. Many might raise the question about whether we have some responsibility as a nation based upon the fact that we are bankrolling these narco traffickers who are ruling the day in these countries by our drug use. We might also ask whether other economic accords which have benefited our country a great deal have really benefited the small farmers and the like in these countries, or whether they've put them out of business, thus leading to even greater economic hardship.
So your message to all Americans would be, whether you're in the White House, in a position of authority, a member of Congress, or just a citizen, to look into your own heart and soul and to see where your own responsibility might reside for these individuals who are claiming refuge here in the United States for whatever reason.
Absolutely. That's, I believe, what Christians always do, and all people of goodwill. You know, this world is getting smaller and smaller. And I think one of the things we're witnessing here is that what we used to consider a world away is now very much at our doorstep. And particularly when we're talking about neighbors in our own hemisphere, we have to be concerned. We don't have the luxury of being unconcerned about what is happening in their home countries.
Bishop Mark Seitz is the bishop of the Diocese of El Paso, Texas. He spoke with us from Washington, D.C. Bishop, thank you so much for being with us.
You're very welcome. God bless.
We want to remind you that the U.S. Border Patrol has apprehended more than 52,000 migrant children from Central America since last October. That's a 92% increase from this time last year, and a mix of responses emotionally and sort of sentimentally, that some go with the bishop's responses, so some take a very different tack. Here from San Antonio, Texas, I would consider these people refugees. They're not only trying to escape poverty in their homeland, they're also fleeing from the tyrannies and oppression. To me, that's being a refugee. They're taking refuge from a country they believe would kill them if it wished to. Here's David from New York. Refugees from what? Can the 5 billion people who live in worse conditions just walk into America? No matter how worthy these people are, the country simply cannot sustain anyone who wants a better life to come to this country and stay here. You can keep the conversation going. Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or post on our very active Facebook page on this subject. President Obama has requested $3.7 billion in emergency funds from Congress to deal with the stream of migrant children crossing into the United States from Mexico.
What disappoints me so much with the president's request, he's asking for a blank check, in essence, $3.7 billion, but no reform.
That's Senator John Cornyn, Republican from Texas, joining us now. Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent. Todd, welcome to the program.
Hi, John.
Isn't that a little bit disingenuous of Senator Cornyn, since the president has been asking for reform for months now, in addition to this new request for $3.7 billion?
Well, there's a little bit of subtext to what Senator Cornyn is saying, apart from the coming election, of course. Part of the subtext is the overall disagreement on immigration reform, of course. And Republicans have said, Democrats have been trying to keep this humanitarian or refugee crisis on the border with the children separate from the overall immigration debate. They feel if it gets mixed into the immigration debate, which is not going anywhere, if you say it has to be attached to all kinds of other reforms that we can't agree on, and we've proved we can't agree on it, then nothing is going to get done. We have to deal with it as its own problem. The other part of the subtext there is something Republicans have wanted all along, and that they want from this particular debate, which is more border security than the president is offering here. There is new money for customs and border protection. The Border Patrol would get $433 million in the president's new request here. Republicans say not nearly enough, and there have been increasing Republican calls for the president to order the National Guard to the border to prevent some of these crossings. So that's some of the subtext of what you hear Cornyn saying.
You know, she's all over the place. Cecilia Munoz is the White House advisor on this crisis. Here's a clip from her on the program Morning Edition. I'm sure you're familiar with Morning Edition. Do you think she's the right spokesperson for this crisis? Listen.
The solution to violence and poverty in Central America isn't going to be that everyone can come to the United States. We have to apply our laws, and we will do it in a way that's faithful to the humanitarian concerns at stake here.
I just don't know if she sounds decisive enough for this crisis that's getting bigger every day.
The president has found himself pulled in different directions on the immigration debate, John. And as a lot of this has played out in public, a lot of these pressures have played out in private, especially between the president and pro-immigration groups, immigration reform groups that have supported him. They've been very disappointed by the failure of Congress to pass anything and by the failure of the president to push Congress to pass reform. So I think that's part of the undercurrent that you're seeing there. One of the important parts of the debate that's coming, in addition to the money, the $3.7 billion, Congress will debate the rest of the summer about the money. There's an issue of who gets deported and who doesn't. And this is big. John, when kids from Mexico come over the Border Patrol can send them right back if they make an asylum claim and it doesn't meet the standards of the law. But if you're from Guatemala or Honduras or another country that doesn't border on the United States, those children have to have an asylum hearing. That's helping to cause some of the backlog in the border states that we're seeing. Democrats are telling the president loudly they do not want to change the law to make it easier to send those kids back. That's going to be a debate.
Takeaway Washington correspondent Todd Zwillick. Thanks, Todd.
You got it.